Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy and I'm inviting you to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. And hey, as always, thanks for sharing some of your time with me today. And as much as you know, if you're a fan, if you're a listener, if you're a follower of the show, which I always thank you for being, you know that we are about winning the battle for business. And each and every week, that is my mission. That is my goal, to help you on your journey, to help all of us on our collective journeys. But today I want to take somewhat of a different, unique approach to it. As we always talk about winning the battle for business and we focus on it from the business perspective, today I want to focus on winning the personal battles in life. And not just from the personal perspective, but since this is the Profit Express, I'm going to tie it into winning the battle for business, of course. Because there are so many personal battles in life that if we push ourselves through them, if we get through the ups and downs on those personal battles, I know for a fact, and as do you, that winning those personal battles, those personal victories, will only prepare us to be better suited to win the battle for business. So what do I mean? Well, there was a personal battle that I finally won this past weekend. I'm not going to give you the details yet. It's a little tease. It took me multiple years and four attempts, but I finally did it. And it was a massive learning lesson. It was one of the most grueling physical things I've ever done in my life. And I want to share that with you today. And it's not just going to be me. I have a very unique guest, one of my favorite guests. She's a colleague. She's a friend. If you're a follower of the show, if you're a fan of the show, you know who she is. And she also, just last week, so I overcame one of my great personal victories this past Saturday. She had a massive personal victory as well that I'll let her, you know, we're going to fill in details with her when she's on. So here we are. We're two business owners in our 50s who have done probably some of the most incredible physical challenges ever, and I know it has prepared both of us to be even more equipped to win that battle for business. And so today's guest is none other than fan favorite Hillary Topper of HJMT Public Relations. She is an ultra athlete. She's an endurance athlete, a triathlete. She's an amazing blogger. You got to follow her blog. She's got a great podcast I've had the fortune of being on a couple of times. So it's a pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Hillary Topper. How are you today, Hillary?
Thanks, Tim, for having me. I'm great. How are you?
Listen, I am wonderful, and I have to admit, the inspiration for today's show happened at around 6,288 feet in the air. And I thought, you know what? If I can successfully ascend and descend Mount Washington, which is the highest peak in the Northeast, as I just mentioned, 6,288 feet. If I can do that, I'm going to do my podcast this week. I'm going to do my show, The Profit Express, on overcoming this challenge. And I thought, you know, I got to have Hillary on. Because I finally, if four attempts, my first attempt was in 2013. We'll get to that in a moment. I had some miserable experiences. I finally conquered it. And you also had a tremendous personal victory just this past week. Fill us in. What was the challenge?
So the challenge was to swim from Fire Island to Bayshore in under 4 hours. And for somebody like me, I just learned how to swim maybe 5 years ago. I mean, right. I never swam a day in my life. So this right. was huge.
So, all right. So you didn't. Now, this is what I think is funny about your story, and interesting. So, you never, as a kid, learned how to swim.
No, my mother used to say to me, "Don't go in too deep to the ocean." We lived in Long Beach. I grew up on the beach, but I was never allowed in past my knees.
Wait. So you not only you live on Long Island, but you live on the water in Long Beach, and you never learned how to swim. Don't go past your knees.
Right. And they actually, we used to have this program when I was in second grade to teach us how to swim. And I was just, I was just kind of one of those kids that never wanted to listen and just have fun with my friends. So I paddle along, doggy paddle, but that was basically it. I mean, I had no interest in this.
Really? Wow. So fast forward, as I mentioned, listen, hey, we're two business owners in our 50s, and we've done two of the most amazing physical challenges in our lives, right? Is that safe to say that swim for you, right? It was
That was
5.5
huge.
miles. Yeah.
It actually ended up being more like 7 miles because my son veered off the path, veered off the track, and then a kayaker had to recruit us and bring us back.
Now, okay,
So,
so
yeah,
this was.
I swam over what I was supposed to swim.
So you exceeded the 5.5 miles. So for those listening, let's give some of the detail on this. So this was, it was the, my notes, Maggie Fisher Memorial Swim from Fire Island to Bayshore, right?
Correct.
Now that's in open waters. That's a key. So you're not swimming laps in a pool, okay? Big difference. And I know how to swim. I'm not a swimmer, right?
Big
So
difference.
tell us, how were the conditions that day?
Oh, the conditions were horrible. They were so much worse than I expected. I expected it to be really flat. And instead of that, I could not see in front of me. The swells were so high above my vision. So I had to rely on my kayaker, who was my son, to get me to the end.
Now,
And
so
that's where we kind of messed up because I was following him and he's so thin, he got swept out with the current. So
now, listen, team effort, family effort, your son Derek was there for you, which is
was
great.
wonderful.
But he was new to kayaking as well. It wasn't like he had been kayaking
Exactly.
as okay.
No,
Okay.
he's a completely inexperienced kayaker, and everyone else. I mean, it definitely put me in a disadvantage, but my advantage was seeing him. Every time I took a stroke, I would
Right.
see his beautiful face smiling at me, and it
Oh.
just made me melt.
So you look at you had one of the best possible people out there as your cheerleader, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and when it was rough, I really was starting to channel Maggie Fisher. So let me talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
So I read about this. I really didn't know much about it before I did the swim. And I guess it was like the day before. I was like, who is Maggie Fisher anyway? Turns out she was a high school student. She was 17 years old,
Right.
and she was signed up for this swim, and she was in a terrible car accident that, it was fatal car accident.
Ugh, ugh.
So her parents took it over, and they've been running this ever since, this event. And so the whole thing is the money raised goes toward hospice. And each swimmer, you pay a certain amount, and then it's about $500 that you have to raise for hospice or more,
Right,
which is a
right.
great cause.
Of course. So there's, as always, a lot of these events have great backstories. So a young life was taken tragically, unfortunately. But to me, what I think is so interesting about Hillary's story is, and we've talked about this a few times in the past, but the sea was angry that day. As George said to Jerry on Seinfeld, the sea was angry that day, Jerry. And so you had that to deal with. Derek gets off course as a newbie kayaker. So not only you figure, if in a race like this, you don't want to have to do one more stroke than you have to. You want to conserve your energy, all these different things. So now let's talk about this. So you're going, and then how do you guys realize you're that far off course? 'Cause that's, a mile plus or minus. That's serious.
So Dave, the kayaker, he was a volunteer. He saw
Okay.
us and he came toward us and said, "Follow me. You're off course, follow me." And I said, "Derek," I screamed out, "Derek, follow this guy." So we both followed him and he brought us back on course and he actually took us in. So I followed Dave, the kayaker, I don't know his last name, and Derek was on the side of me. And it was funny because every 30 minutes I told Derek,
Right.
"Just make sure I have a gel or I drink some fluids."
Sure.
And at the end, he was like, hanging the gel in front of me. And I said, no, I can't. I don't have that much time." I knew I was very, very close. And
Right.
what happened also, which was really discerning for me, was that my watch stopped. I mean, I have this Garmin Fenix 6. I just bought it. I mean, it's a great watch. But in the middle of the swim, it stopped working.
Really?
So it kind of gave me like a weird sense of where I was at. I'm looking at my watch and it says 2 hours and 15 minutes. And I was really out there, 3 hours and 15 minutes. Now I'm close to the end. It's a 4 hour cutoff. And Dave's saying to me, "You don't have that much time. You only have an hour or you only have 20 minutes." And so I
Ooh.
didn't stop. And it was the thing I think about it, and I compare this also to your major accomplishment, is that at some point you have to dig really deep,
Yes.
so deep. And you think to yourself, "Should I quit? I could easily quit. Doing a DNF is easy right now. This would be okay." And I'm thinking to myself at the same time, "I already swam 5.25 miles. So I did my goal, about a month ago." But I just seeing my son's face smiling at me and getting pushed by Dave saying, "You better pick it up because you're not gonna make it." It
Love it.
was all, and thinking about Maggie, right? Thinking about her and thinking of that she really wanted to do this, and
Yeah.
all the people out there who wanted to do this race who weren't able to. That's what drove me. That's what said, I just said to myself, "I've got to do it for them. I've got to do this and finish this race, no matter what." And that was really, it was emotional. It was very emotional, actually.
You know, it's so funny. So my theme for the show today, it's always winning the battle for business on the Profit Express. And we talk about it from the business perspective. What are we going to do for sales? What are we going to do for marketing and branding and technology, et cetera? And we talk a lot about that, obviously, on the show. That's the theme of the show. And, I've kind of followed you on your journey to prepping for this, for the Maggie Fisher Memorial Swim. And then, you and I've kind of followed one another and, you follow me and, having conversations about me preparing for climbing Mount Washington. And when you say DNF, which for those who don't know, does not finish, did not finish, is that's the easy way out. That's quitting, right? We get it. It can happen. But then, like you said, Hillary is like, hey, Derek was there. I was looking into my son's eyes. That guy, Dave, the kayaker, was there. And then, from above, Maggie Fisher was there for you. Just swimming to your side, being there for you. And I think it's funny when is a whether you're in sales, where your performance is measured every day, week, month, quarter, year. If you're that business owner, you're also in sales, directly, indirectly. Your performance is being measured. And, part of why I had you on today, Hillary, why you want to do the show the way I'm doing it today, is I really would love to encourage, our experiences to encourage the listener to do something they've never done before physically. Okay, no matter what your skill sets are. You know, it's not like you and I are former Olympic athletes, okay? We weren't college athletes, you know? You started this, what, like 5 or 6 years ago? I never climbed a mountain before. What the heck do I know? So whether it's just walking for the first time, right? Maybe you haven't walked. Maybe you haven't been physical. Most of us, you know, can walk. You know, maybe you go for a hike. Maybe you get on a bicycle. Maybe you decide to go to your local pool. Anything, something, right? Because I think the lessons when what you just shared, and we're going to continue to talk about, excuse me, and what I'll talk about with my story, is when you dig deep, and you said this, you know, you're looking at your watch stop, you're disoriented, you know, you go off, you're like, oh crap, I just lost this time, I'm running out of time. When you have to dig deep in the bay with the swells, the white caps and all that, and I'm up on a mountain and my legs are cramping, it starts to rain as it did as I'm getting to the summit, it's pouring rain. It's digging deep.
It certainly is. And I think also that it relates to business in that, you know, I mean, for me, I started my business. Both my parents were working people. They were civil servant employees. I mean, I never had anybody, an entrepreneur in my life to be my mentor.
Right.
And I feel like it's always been a struggle. My business has gone up and down, up and down. And it's very similar to an event like this, where you just don't know if you're going to make it, but yet you push through, and you've got to push through because that's what you got to do.
Well, it's true that there's very few businesses. You know, you talk about the overnight success story that was 20 years in the making. You know, there's rarely a true overnight success story. And whether you're coming from, whether you have a mentor or not, you know, let's face it, most entrepreneurs, we're underfunded. We don't have the real experience we need. You know, we don't have the management team with all the background that we need and the brain that we need. But we keep on going. And as much as, listen, you know, we're on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and we can read all of these things about wake up at 4 a.m, and this is what Tim Cook does, and this is what Elon Musk does, and blah, 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 blah. I'm sick of hearing that stuff, right? But that's why, and I'm going to keep talking about it today, because I know somebody listening is going to take our advice. Pick a physical challenge that you either have never done or maybe haven't done in years. And I think it's great. I think just mentally, physically, it kind of stimulates your thought process, your mindset, your confidence in doing something that's non-business related, but that you could very much call upon. You're going to have to need to call upon when, you know, sales are flat. You're going to need to call upon digging deep when you lost your best client. You know, when you had a presentation that you thought, oh, this is a slam dunk, you know, I need this business, you know, this month hasn't been great, and then you lose it. You know, how are you going to go deep? And when you've got that swim to remind you, you know, stop crying, stop complaining, it's time to pull up your big girl pants, right? But you got that mountain climb to rely on. That's what's so huge.
I mean, you were hurting too. I heard, you know, from your Mount Washington climb, and, you know, you said that you struggled before. I'm just curious why you kept doing it. Why did you not give up after the first time that you struggled with it? Why did you keep doing it until you were able to make it to that point?
That's a good question. That's a great question. So my first attempt was 2013. So we're talking 8 years ago. I didn't climb every year, and last year was COVID and all that. It was the fourth attempt. And what happened the first year, I had a good friend, Tom Fabry, who has actually climbed 6 of the world's 7 summits. I mean, he's a professional mountaineer. He's done every summit except Everest. He's done Denali, Aconcagua, you know, Kosciuszko, all of them. And he got me interested. He's like, hey, Tim, there's this mountain. It's in New Hampshire. It's not too far away. It's not too high. You should try it. So we got a group of friends together. Our friend in common, Brian Cohen, was one of us who went. And I didn't know. I was so dumb back then. Just, I got to be honest. We had the trip booked. And it was, we were leaving on a Friday. The climb was going to be a Saturday morning, right? I didn't even bother to find out how far away New Hampshire was. I'm like, it's a couple of hours. Well, we didn't take the ferry. We had to go around the long way through Queens and the Bronx and the bridge. And we left after work on a Friday. And I was exhausted. And we got there at 3 a.m. God. Because when you drive, by the way, up in New Hampshire at nighttime, you got to be careful. There's no lights. So it made me more tired. Then they got moose. They got these moose signs. Be careful you don't hit a moose because you'll be. We're not worried about the moose. You'll be dead. You drive into a moose, you're dead. So then I'm driving, looking, and I'm tired, and you know we're looking for moose. Right? It's dark. There's no lights. So we get there. It's 3:00 a.m. We get into the hotel. We collapse. The alarm goes off at 6:00 because we have to start at 7:00. I am exhausted. I have water. I have some food. I thought I had enough materials. But what happens to me just naturally, Hillary, is I cramp. Even as a kid, my muscles cramp. So I'm doing this climb, and I'm really enjoying it. I love one thing about me, and it's funny because everybody knows me. I'm always high energy intensity. I'm talking, I'm on the phone, I'm doing the show. But when you're out in nature like that, and you know this, you bike, you ride, you run, to me, it's very calming, and it kind of allows me to, you know, disconnect from everything. You know, mm-hmm. I don't even have to hear, you know, no conversations, no social. So I'm at a point of 5,000 feet. I'll never forget this. 5,000 feet. You know, I'm tired, right? But then all of a sudden, at 5,000 feet, you're kind of getting above the trees, above the tree line. So there's no real trees anymore. It's a small little brush. And all of a sudden, bang, I get this massive cramp. I'm like, oh, in my inner thigh. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't think too much about it. I shook it off. Then I walk like another, hike like another 50 yards. And then, bang, I get another one. I'm like, oh, God. I'm getting nervous because where we were took us like 3 hours to get to that point, 3.5 hours. So there's nothing up there. You're up there. You're up there. You're committed, right? If it took you 3.5 to get up, it's going to take you 3.5 to get down. So then, because I was unaware of it, I start to panic a little bit. And then, like, my breathing got, you know, constricted, and then the cramp started to get worse, which is the worst thing to do. So we took a break. I had, you know, I had some water. I had some electrolytes. I had some food. So we had these guides, right? Bo DeCourcy and Caleb Hewlett were the two guys we actually hired to help take us up there. So I'm like, I said, Bo, what do you think? You know, I'm about 5,000 feet up. He's like, listen, he's like, you can get up. Now, the thing with Mount Washington, if you don't know, there's an observatory, and there's actually a trail, a road on the other side that can take you up to the observatory. So they have vans that can take you down. He's like, worst comes to worst, we can get a van down there. I'm like, okay. Last van goes at 4:00. Now I'm going slower and slower. And you'll appreciate this, Hillary. So they take the pack off me, right? And my whole right leg is a massive cramp. The thigh, the ankle, my calf, and I'm like slinging my leg like a wet fish, like a log, and I'm like, now I'm crawling, right? I'm crawling up this thing, and then my right leg would kind of loosen up and relax. Then my left leg, because I've been using just my left leg, that whole thing cramped, you know. And then it becomes a mental game, and this is where it also applies to business. I start to panic. I start to get anxiety. And then instead of relaxing and drinking a little bit and taking a little rest and then keep going, I just like tense up. So then for the rest of the climb, which took me like 2 hours to go the distance, it would go, the cramps would go from the left leg to the right leg, to the left leg to the right leg. And I was just like, and you could appreciate this in all the training, because you've done a ton of training.
And I've felt those cramps.
Oh.
Oh, they're the worst.
They're painful as hell. And
terrible.
Yeah. And listen, you know what? This is a lesson I had to learn, because listen, if I'm running in a park and I get a cramp, it's one thing. Now think about this. And this was tough for me. You're at 5,000 feet in the air. You're actually walking in clouds. Your view is you're looking down onto the top of ski slopes. Right? To me that was a little intimidating. I'm like, man, I am banged up. I'm crawling. I'm really, really in, what do I do? You know? So we summited. We got there. I took a van down. I had a few more attempts. And what happened is, this is the interesting part. And I finally, Hillary, 2021, learned the lesson this year. So the two more attempts, I failed. I got up, but I couldn't get back down. So even though I have a propensity to cramp, I let my head control everything, and they got worse every time. And I went each time with the same guys, Beau DeCourcy, Caleb Hewlett. And these guys, they're professionals. They've climbed this mountain well over 100 times. They've climbed other mountains around the world. Very knowledgeable, very good guys. And they tried to talk me through it, and I wasn't listening. I was not listening. They kept giving me the same advice, because the advice is not complicated. It's the same thing, you know? I'm like, oh, like when I went the second time, oh, I got a cramp. Oh my God. Right. Like, and they tried to talk me through it, but I wasn't listening. So this year, and even some of my friends were saying, why are you still doing this? And that was one of your questions, Hillary. Why am I still doing this? And that's a great question, because, but I don't know. I think it's part of my persistence. I'm a grinder. I don't quit. I'm like, I've got to accomplish this. I've got to get the monkey off the back.
So you fail, yeah. Right?
Yes. Thank you for saying that. Yes.
That was your word.
Yes, you're right. 100%. 100%.
So you fail three of them, but you just keep going forward. You have to do this.
Yeah.
You have to do this. Yeah. And there was something in you mm-hmm. that made you feel like you had to do that. Mm-hmm. Now I think you bring your sister into this, Maureen. Because she was with you, wasn't she?
Yeah, she... I've talked about my sister on the show before. If you're new to the show, my sister passed away from COVID June 6, 2020. And she was just the sweetest human being. She's my sister, I'm biased and all that. And when I decided to go up, and actually my brother went with me this time, okay? And when we decided to go up this year and I started training for it, I already had in my mind, I'm like, I got to do this for Maureen. I got to do this for Maureen. And my wife had a couple of my favorite pictures with me and Maureen and me and my brother Chuck, the three of us. And I had those pictures. And that was a big motivator for me. But then what happened is, the morning of the hike, we're in a hotel. We're going to our car in the parking lot, packing up the car. And it was 6:30 in the morning. And I walk out of the parking lot, and I see a rainbow. Now, I don't care what you believe, but I'm a big believer in signs and symbols. And yep. I'm like, I started to well up immediately. And I was by, my brother was still in the hotel room, right? I see that, and I start to get choked up, and I start to tear. So I put the bags in the car, and I go back. I get Chuck, now we're both there. And the rainbow was still there, and it got brighter. I'm not kidding. And I'm like, holy crap. And I'm like, Chuck, right? And I'm pointing to the rainbow. I took pictures of it. And I'm like, Maureen's with us today. And like right now, if I talk about it too much longer, I'm going to get choked up. But I'm like, I said, Chuck, she's with us. And it got brighter when we came, because sometimes rainbows can go very quick, right? But I got Chuck, we went back down, and it was more vivid and bigger. And Chuck's like, wow, she's with us today. I knew she would be, but she let us know. And so here's an important thing, and this is why I love having you on today, because, you know, you've done more than I've done, and I want to get back to some of your other exploits. But as I was doing this, and this is the fourth attempt, and I'm being honest, this is, you know, we talk about transparency in business, right? And you were somebody, Hillary, who helped me be more transparent, because I was a very tight, buttoned-up guy, and I thank you for that. You've helped me with that, which is great. You know that. So here's the transparency. So I'm doing the climb this past weekend on Saturday. Feeling good, had the cramps. You know, this time the difference was, thanks to Bo DeCourcy, Bo never gave up on me. And he's like, all right, listen, this is what we're going to do. You get a little zinger. Something you can call it a cramp is a little zinger. We're going to stop, get a little drink, shake it out, and then we're going to keep going. So, okay. He said, we didn't want to let the cramp manifest. And I did that the first time, and it worked. I'm like, oh, wow. And I'm like, okay. And I got like 10 of them on the way up, but I was managing them a lot better. And only one was kind of tough. So I started to get confident. But there were some points, Hillary, on that climb, this past climb, that I'm like, and then when it started to pour rain, I'm like, oh, God. Because, you know, rocks and rain, it's not a great combination. You know, wet rocks, right? And I'm starting to think to myself, I'm like, oh, God. True story. I'm like, I don't know if I can go back down. And that was on this climb. And like you said it earlier, peaks, valleys, embracing the suck, as they say. I think it's a military term. And, you know, and then there was a couple of times, and this would be my last Maureen story, that, you know, it's pouring rain. I have a hat on. I've got my gear on. And I look up to heaven, right, in the corner of my eye. I said, all right, Maureen, I really need you right about now. and then we got through. We got to the top. And the rain stopped. And I'm like, all right, I'm doing it this year. This is the year.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Really beautiful story. Yeah. You know, it's funny because I had a similar experience in the water. So I was at mile, I guess it was like the last mile. Mm. And all of a sudden, my shoulder wouldn't work. It just stopped working. I could not lift it. I could still feel it.
Still pinching, right.
It was just like, whoa. Like, right. I could not do it. And I started using the other arm, this arm, and tried to bring in so much more of a catch on this side of my body, on the right side,
really?
So that I would overcompensate. Because I even though I was in so much pain, and I was in so much pain,
right,
I just had to push through it.
I didn't know. When you and I talked, because your race was Thursday, correct? Did I get that right?
Okay. Correct.
So I think you and I spoke Thursday or Friday, you know, say, you know, congratulations and all that. And I don't think you told me that. So I know you said you were in pain with the shoulder. So it actually stopped working for you?
It just, I could not lift it. I could not move my shoulder. I still feel like there's some issues in it, you know, like bursitis or something.
Right.
I was like having so much trouble bringing it around. It was the first time that I ever felt that way. And it was so difficult. And yet, again, like that was something that was so important to me that I was going to finish this. I was going to do this for Maggie Fisher. I was going to do this for everybody that wanted to do this swim, that couldn't do this swim. And I was going to do it for my dad, who was sitting in hospice, who always loved the water, you know, and I was just doing it for them and for me, that I could prove to myself that I could do this too. I now am a kick butt. I don't want to say a bad word.
That's all right. That's quite all right.
But you know, that was important to me, and now I have another one of these that will be a struggle.
Well, sorry. So what we're doing?
This, I'm not sure.
So today's a special show. We're going to do a doubleheader with Hillary. We're not going anywhere. Because there's still a lot more to tell in these stories and in other stories. And again, you're listening, you're a fan of the show. We're here to help you win the battle for business. And if you're that business owner, if you are that the entrepreneur, if you are the sales professional, you know what I mean when I say winning the battle for business. Because every day, some days are great, some days are horrible. Just like with Hillary Swim, there was points she was feeling strong, and there's points where her arm wasn't moving. And in my climb, I had cramps. I was thinking of quitting. And I really think there's a lot of value in stepping out of business and stepping into personal. Personal, and I'm saying physical, right? Maybe it's not something physical. Maybe it's just some challenge you've wanted to do personally. And, you know, maybe learning a language, learning an instrument, something that you haven't done that, you know, that stimulates you, that gets you thinking, that gets you pushing yourself. You know, that could be that personal battle, you know, where, you know, victory on the other end would just be a great thing for you. And I think it becomes a great asset because I know, speaking for myself, I will never forget the vivid details of August 14th, 2021, and the rainbow and the rain and the cramps and then the victory. Just like I know Hillary's not going to forget looking into Derek's face, her son, who was her kayaker guiding her on and off the course. Listen, nobody can take that away from us, Hillary, right? So we're going to continue. A quick thank you, as always, though, to Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Great friends and great supporters of the show. Please visit them at corbettpr.com. That's CORBETTPR.com. Always want to give a mention and a thank you to the great supporters of the show. So you decided, I want to go back into your story, Hillary. Like you said, you grew up in Long Beach but didn't know how to swim. I love that. That's just awesome. And then you just swam 5.5 miles in open water. My God, that's courageous. So you have a tremendous following. I'm jealous, a tremendous Instagram following. You write a terrific blog, a triathlete's diary. Am I getting that right? Okay. Tell us about that, because one lesson I learned from you and that you shared when we talked, you know, from a business perspective, is sharing who you are personally, making that a part of your brand. So when did you decide or start to say, hey, you know, I'm going to start running, I'm going to start these triathlons and swimming and cycling, et cetera?
So my business actually had become pretty significant. We were a significant force on Long Island and in New York. And I started feeling like, okay, I conquered this. Now what? And there was something that was missing, right? And I used to go on the parkway, on the Wantour Parkway, driving home from Melville. And I used to see all these people running, and I thought, wow, that would be so cool to run. It just looks beautiful. Looks like people just love it. And I want to experience that. So we started there. And from there, I learned how to run with a friend of mine, and we started doing races together. And then after that, I guess it was the Brooklyn Half. She said to me, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm bored. I don't want to do these races. They suck. So I said, well, why don't we try a triathlon? Now, this is in 2014. I didn't even know what a triathlon was. I mean, I knew it was swim, bike, run, and I thought I knew how to swim. I knew how to doggy paddle. That was swimming, right? So
Technically, yeah.
technically, I knew how to float.
Yeah, exactly. You weren't drowning, right? Yeah.
Right, exactly. And so I hired a coach and I learned how to swim. I learned how to shift gears on the bike, which I never did because I used to ride in Long Beach on the boardwalk and you didn't have to shift gears.
Right.
And I learned how to run, and I learned from Jeff Galloway how to do the run, walk, run method. And mm-hmm. he actually got me through the New York City Marathon using that method. So now I teach that. I have a running group, and I also have a triathlon group. And as a result of all of this, I decided, you know what, I'm going to be a USA triathlon coach. So I went for the course, and I became certified. And I'm a certified personal trainer, and I'm a certified running coach. So I've got all of these different certifications under my belt.
Right.
Yeah. And how does that relate to business? It relates to business because people I meet who love the same things, actually, we've connected and I have them as clients, and, you know, so I help them, and I feel like I feel much more fulfilled now. I mean, my business isn't as big as it used to be, but I'm much more fulfilled today than I was back, you know, in the 2014 or whatever, when my business was at its height.
So this is interesting. And, you know, listen, we've all heard that people like to do business with people that they know and trust. And if you think about it, you know, I mean, I grew my business in the very beginning, networking, it's like a part-time job, but it got me out there, got my name out there, and that was part of the foundation. And, it, you know, it's still, you know, certainly a very viable tool. However, if you can then network through the groups that you have a common interest or share an interest in, cycling, golf, running, tries, whatever it is, I mean, think about it. Just like you share something in common, you respect each other, you get to know each other in a non-threatening way, in a non-business way, and then inevitably, as we all know, if you spend enough time with somebody, hey, Hillary, tell me about your business. What do? You do that often enough, you almost can't help but land into business.
And I think they also see that I am a go-getter. Like, I will not take no for an answer. Like, I just keep going and going and going, even though it hurts, even though it's painful, even though I can't anymore. Yet, they see that, and they see that as a plus for business, because they know that I'm going to go to bat for them. If I represent them, I'm just going to keep going and be there for them, you know? So that's how there's a relation there between triathlons and business. The other thing I think in terms of that, in terms of sports or, you know, climbing a mountain or jumping in, it was funny because there's one story. I'm writing a book, as you know, on my journey, and I'm getting published by Meyer and Meyer Sports. And one of the stories I write about was when I did the New York City triathlon, and I was so incredibly nervous right before that race. I mean, ridiculous. I was having like race anxiety like no other.
Okay.
And I sat down with one of my clients. Her name was Joan. And Joan says to me, "What are you afraid of?" And I said, "Well, I'm scared to death about jumping in the Hudson River." And she said, "Why would you be scared to jump in the river? You always jump in the river. You're always jumping in."
Right, right.
And she said, "What else are you afraid of?" And I said, "Well, I'm really scared about the climbs. Because I know that on the Hudson, the Henry Hudson Parkway, it's very, very steep, and there's lots of hills, and it's tough."
Sure.
And she said to me, "But you've always gone up the climb, and you've never had a problem."
Right, right.
And I thought, wow, that was so telling.
And that's, it was like me and my mental baggage. It was like I was allowing these excuses to come up, you know, and I was, to me, it's so funny, the parallels in your story and my story. Two completely different events, two completely different people. And, you know, I guess maybe unless you're like a Olympic gold medal athlete, you know, where it's these events are easier for you. You know, typical average people like you and me, when you push yourself in these kinds of events, right? there's going to be pain. There's going to be discomfort, right? There'll be moments where you're feeling great and you're going along and you're on top of the world. And it could be like 2 minutes later, your shoulder stops working. And then all of a sudden you crash, right? It happened to you. It happened to me. But the difference for me this time was I'm like, all right, I'm going to deal with it differently. I will not allow this to overcome me. I will not allow this to just have this like seizing moment of anxiety, which it did in my previous three failures. So,
and that says something about you as a person and about the way you also present yourself in business. I mean, that's huge, you know, that you just didn't let those failures defeat who you are. You right. took those failures as a lesson and built upon it. And that's huge.
You said something very important. You said like, hey, it's a reflection on me, like with your clients, you know, they get to know you through triathlons and they're like, hey, you know, Hillary, she's a bulldog. She's resilient. She's no, it's true. You know, that's one thing we share in common, right? It's that we don't give up. It might not look pretty. I'll speak for myself. I know I didn't look pretty. I'm not going to insult you, right? It might not look pretty, but I'm going to get it done. And, you know, and even something like, it was funny, Hillary, you asked me earlier, you know, why didn't you quit doing this? And certainly my sister this year was a monumental boost. You know, you don't always have an angel going with you. And this time I did. So thank you, Maureen. But I did it for my son too. You know, because even on the failed attempts, you know, I'm like, I have to do this eventually. I have to do this because, you know, when I talk to him and I look him in the face and he's at a point where he's at a crossroads, which, you know, all of our kids are going to be crossroads, whether it's at school, whether it's in their own sports, et cetera. He's a big baseball player. And when he's faced with adversity, I at least have this street credibility of saying, hey, you know what? I didn't quit.
Absolutely. And I think that even him seeing you do this, mm-hmm. was so incredibly huge that it will inspire him for life. And my children too. I mean, they look at, you know, my son, when he saw me struggling out there in that swim,
right,
he saw that I was not giving up. There was no way. I mean, I didn't tell you the last part of that swim.
Wait. We have something more. This is interesting here on the Profit Express. do tell. Because as we're in part two, do tell.
Because I was the last one in, right?
Right.
I had all the boats following me, and they're all honking, you know, just, come on, Hillary, you got this. You know,
I love it. So you're the anchor, you're the last one coming in, and you get like this boat parade of horns. Wow, that is great. That is so funny.
And I won an award, no less. I won the best endurance award.
Of course. You're a rock star. You're a pillar of salt. So listen, so you said something very interesting. So Derek was with you. He was your kayaker, your aide, your guide. And, you know, every stroke you're looking up, right? And then you're seeing him in that kayak. And it's, I didn't think of it this way. You know, even with my son Magnus, it's just like, he wasn't on the climb with me, but, you know, that it was a special experience for you and your son, obviously, to kind of do an event like that together. But think about this. And I'm so glad you shared this. It's like, wow. You know, so how old is Derek? He's what?
He's 24.
24. Okay. So he's not a young kid. You know, I mean, he's young, but, not, you know, he's seeing his mom, okay, in there grinding it out stroke for stroke for 5.5 miles.
Yep. Yeah, and they've always, my kids both have been so incredibly supportive of my right. journey. They've, right. you know, even when he was younger, he was in high school or middle school, just I remember one time I was running the New York City half marathon, and this was the first half marathon I had done alone. And he was out there, I guess, like 2 miles before the finish line. And I said, Derek, I can't. And he's like, yes, you can, Ma. I'm going to run with you. And he finished the race with me. It was so incredible.
Oh, man, I love that.
He and both my kids, I mean, my daughter and my son-in-law, they've always been there for all of my races. I mean, for many of them anyway, for the ones that were local. And it's just that inspiration, you know, it just makes me feel so good to be just sharing my journey with them.
Yeah.
To say, you know what, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to accomplish, you can accomplish no matter what, no matter how difficult it is. It's all in your head. It's all, you know, in your head, and you're just going to muddle through it, and you could muddle through it, and anybody could do this type of race. It's not like it, you know, like I'm an elite athlete or anything. Anybody could do anything they really set their mind to. It's all a mindset, and that's how it relates to business.
You know, it's funny. You know, you and I are just average people, and there's a lot of people who listen to the show. You know, again, we're average people. We're business owners, sales professionals, you know, you've got families, the whole nine yards. And you said something that got me thinking just as you were saying that. Like, listen, all parents, they love their kids. They want to do the best they can for their kids, obviously, and always encouraging your kids. And the funny thing with that is, like, when a kid has a struggle, and I've been enjoying the hell out of this interview, by the way, Hillary. Thank you so much for being on board today. As your kid is encountering a struggle, sports, school, whatever, right? And the parent's going to give him the pep talk, right? Which is what all parents do. And he's like, you can put your mind to it, you can do anything, right? And it's true. And you can, now think about this though. You can give him examples of so many athletes or so many, you know, mega successful entrepreneurs, right? Who overcame tremendous odds. But now you and I have something that I think is a bit special in the fact that we went through it and can share something very real with them that I think just takes it. Because, you know, when you hear about the athlete, it's a true story. It's a great story. But I think when you have a parent tell you something, hey, let's not forget Mount Washington 2021, Maggie Fisher race, swim. You know what I mean? You see how
it's... And I'm sure your son said to you, Dad, I'm so proud of you.
I mean,
did he not say that? Of course he did. And didn't that make you just melt?
Listen, I don't have to tell you, same thing with you and Derek, how tremendous that is. But yeah, I couldn't quit for him, you know, or Maureen, you know, and you mentioned, you know, your dad, Derek, Maggie, all these people. And it's funny, on the show, I've had a Navy SEAL, retired Navy SEAL instructor, Don Mann. He's been on the show a couple of times, written a number of books. And he was actually, before he retired, he trained the team that went in and killed Bin Laden. So he's got quite a career. And once he retired from... And actually, while he was still in it, he was an endurance runner as well. He did a lot of like desert races, some crazy, crazy stuff. And one thing he said to me, and he's written about it in his books, he's like, and this is coming from a Navy SEAL, you know. And he says to me, he's like, listen, Tim, this is true of 98% of people out there. When we think we have gotten to the point when we're done, and he kind of gave a visual. We're like here. If our full potential is here, when we think we're done, you know, we're really here. And we've got this much more to give. I've never forgotten that. Because, you know, short of passing out. And he says, listen, I've pushed myself to the point of vomiting, getting sick, passing out, you know. But you got to remember that. It's about, I think we've already mentioned, like digging deep. And I think sometimes if you're just a business person and, you know, I think it's great to add that physical element, to add that personal element of digging deep. It's like, no, let's really talk about digging deep. Are you really pushing yourself that hard? Like, you know, hey, as the sales coach, you know, that's part of my job. People pay me to help kick their ass sometimes. And that's what I have to do. Are you really pushing yourself that hard? Can you give me a little more? And almost invariably, the answer is yes. You can give me a little more today. So.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. So.
So what's your next goal, Tim?
I thought you might ask. So as I start off the interview today, Tom Fabry was a guy who kind of introduced me to all this, and he's done 6 of the world's 7 summits. There's some bigger mountains on the West Coast, like Mount Rainier, which is a serious mountain, like 14,000 feet. There's Mount Whitney, I believe I have the name right. It's in Nevada, I think. I could be getting it wrong. It's also 14. It's a little higher than Mount Rainier. It's not as technical. I might consider something like that. I might. You know, I know my nephew wants to go up with my brother and I, you know, so that could definitely be on the calendar for next year. But yeah, perhaps a bigger mountain. I don't know if my wife will be happy to hear that, but now you, what about you? Now you've got a big event coming up.
I do. I have another big, I have another big event. Well, yeah, I have another big event. I'm doing a half Ironman. This will be my first, if
now,
I complete
wait, now,
it.
Now
I,
tell people, so tell people, tell people, I'm sorry to interrupt, tell people when you say half Ironman, what are the distances? Because not everybody knows.
Okay, so a half Ironman is 1.5-mile swim, mm-hmm. a 56-mile bike, and then it's followed by a half marathon, which is 13.1 miles. So it's all in one day, and you have about 8 hours, sometimes 8.5, depending on the race,
right,
to finish. And if you don't make the cutoff, they pull you off. So it's pretty serious. And I'm doing this one in North Carolina.
Right.
I signed up for 3 others in the past, Atlantic City, which was like my first year that I started doing triathlons. And I just realized early on that I was not ready for it. I was
okay.
Just way, way too new.
Okay.
The second time I signed up was for Augusta, and something happened. I don't remember what. And then the third time I signed up for Maine, Ironman Maine, and my sister passed away, so there was no way I was going to do that.
Right.
So it was just, you know, a series of unfortunate events, and this is my fourth attempt. So hopefully I will finish it. I know I will finish it. I have to finish it. It's
absolutely
part of my book.
Yeah.
It's the end of my book. So
well, listen, you for the book, you're going to do it. Hey, I had great success in my fourth, okay? Don't forget, 4 is a great number. I'm guess my new lucky number
like
is
it.
4, you know?
I like it.
So that's in you said North Carolina?
North Carolina in October, October 23rd.
Ooh, I like it. You're going to crush it. This swim, I think, was a perfect strategic move to get you in the right mindset, the confidence, seriously, everything like that. You're going to destroy it.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a struggle at the end with the run because
yeah.
After 56 miles on the bike and you're really pushing that bike and it's hurting, it's, you know, you're in pain. And
yeah.
Now you got to start running a half marathon.
Oh,
it's tough.
I'm not just saying this. I'm not just propping you up. I feel 100% confident. You've got this.
Thank
and just
you.
Remember, so this is what's going to happen, okay? I'm planting some seeds in your head here that when you're at the part of the, when it's going to suck, and it will, now we're prepared. And you're going to remember our interview today. Like, okay, this is the suck. I'm fine. I'll get through it. We'll just keep on going, you know?
I'll do a Facebook, I'll do an Instagram live while I'm out there. Hey guys, this is really sucking.
Just to
Thanks,
let you
Tim.
know, this stinks. Hey, thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. How can you've got a tremendous following on Instagram, your blog. Give us some of those details, Hillary, if you could.
Sure. So I have two blogs. I have a triathletesdiary.com, which is all about my triathlon journey. And that's the book is going to be based off of that blog, which is really exciting because I never would have thought that you can may turn a blog into a book and it would be, you know, there would be some legs to it. And I also have hillarytopper.com, which is my second blog. It's a lifestyle blog. And I have Hillary Topper On Air, which is my podcast. And so they all have pretty good numbers. I've been doing it since 2008. It's a long time. And now I've been doing a lot on Instagram because Instagram has become so important. So I've been
Oh,
putting a
yeah.
lot of my effort into Instagram,
Yeah.
and I've been sharing my triathlon journey. So I've got some amazing pictures of, you know, trainings and races that I've done. And as you know, I know Tim likes this one. I have a shoe of the day. I do it like once a week. And it's funny, Tim, because you're not the only one, but there are so many men, mostly men, who reach out to me and say, "So, what's your next shoe?"
That is so funny.
So funny.
I love it. It's funny. I know. For the record, though, by the way, to all the listeners and the fans, I've tried many times to get Hillary to admit to how many shoes she has. She will not tell me that number. Listen, we're good friends. I don't want to push it too hard. Maybe one day I'll get that number. I still think she's afraid to admit it openly.
No, that's
But what I will say is a great shoe collection, and not even speaking about her Western Cowboy boots, which is pretty fantastic too. Listen, thank you so much. And I literally thought of today's show and having you on while I was on Mount Washington. I said, I got to talk about the climb, and I thought, who better to join me than Hillary? So,
I love it.
we both had great events within the span of a couple of days. Thank you so much. Been a great show. Thank you, Hillary.
Great. Thank you so much. This was great.
Awesome. And this is the Profit Express. Each and every week, let's dig deep together to win the battle for business. Go out there, find that one thing for you that could be that difference maker, that personal challenge, physical, otherwise, learning a language, an instrument. Who cares? Just do something to push yourself to learn just how deep you really can dig, and then how you can apply that to business and that kind of success. So again, you can follow me and the show on Instagram at The Profit Express, on Twitter at Profit_Express. Listen and download every Wednesday for great shows just like the one we had with Hillary Topper. And until next time, this is The Profit Express.